Well, it's good to be here with you today. Nice to see so many of you here in the middle of summer. Absolutely great. I always love seeing all these kids. Wow. Fantastic. I'll be away the next 3 Sundays. We've got some special things going on here in the congregation, but the elders invited me back for the last 3 weeks of August. For some, that's good news. For others of you, it's less than good news. But I look forward to it. Now, I'm going to speak about, I want to thank the elders for that opportunity as well. Thank you. We're going to look together at stories Jesus told in August. The parables. We think we know them well, and we do. But we sort of made them into some fuzzy little nice feeling bedtime stories, the prodigal son, the good Samaritan. But the question we want to ask is, how did the people who heard Jesus in their time take them? How did they receive them? What did they hear? And I'd like to suggest to you that they didn't hear them as, you know, nice, cuddly, fuzzy little bedtime stories. They found them shocking. They found some of them disturbing. They found some of them very sharp and for some harsh and difficult because they were challenging. And so we want to take a look at that and see some of those challenges and see if some of those challenges perhaps aren't the same for us today. But today, we're considering deliciously different. That's right. Deliciously different from Luke's gospel. Thank you for reading that passage of scripture. When two very, very different people meet Jesus in one story, and although it's a story about two people, it becomes one story. It's a gospel sandwich, so to speak. But first, let's prepare ourselves, our hearts, to receive God's word this morning, shall we? And so I'm going to ask you to join with me in saying the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is very ancient in the church, probably back from the 2nd century, when bishops would baptize people and they would ask them questions. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in Jesus Christ our Lord? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in the communion of saints? And then those questions became a short creed that the people who were being baptized following Jesus would say. And that came together in what we know as the Apostles' Creed. So it has been with the church from the earliest times, and it was named the Apostles' Creed because it was seen as a summary of the apostles' teaching about Jesus. And so I invite you to join with me and join with people all over the world today and join with people down through the centuries past who have followed Jesus. Shall we rise together? Let us join together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Intercalation. Intercalate. The noun and the verb. New words to me. this week. I had to look them up. They mean creating space or inserting something new within an existing structure or framework. For example, you insert a molecule or an ion into another material. Or every fourth year, you add a leap year. You add another day, February 29th, into the Gregorian calendar. We're familiar with that. That's an intercalation. Or you embed one rock layer within two others. So you have rock, and then you have volcanic rock, and then you have the same sedimentary rock or whatever kind it is on top. Or in literature, you insert a story or a narrative within a larger story. And so today, we have an intercalation. We have a story of Jairus with a story within that story of a widow, and then we go back to the story of Jairus again. In simple terms, you can call this literary structure a sandwich, right? Jairus, widow, Jairus. It's a gospel story. It's a story about Jesus, not just the widow, not just the synagogue leader Jairus, but ultimately it's a story about Jesus. We call it a sandwich structure. So this morning I'm going to dare to try to build a sandwich to illustrate it. Now, I will be honest with you, my wonderful wife, Lisbeth, is facing this time with incredible terror. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. And it's time for true confession. Because it's just less embarrassing if I confess at the beginning. And yes, okay. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, when it comes to the kitchen, it's best if I don't go in it. No, it's just a fact. My wife spent the last 25 years of her life as a cook. She earned her living as a cook. And when I go into the kitchen, it's called torture for her. Okay, and so we have this agreement in our house that is very simple. I grow things in the garden. I bring them to her. She cooks. I clean up afterwards. We're very happy that way. There's no fighting, no arguing. I love her food. She loves the fact that I can clean. So, and the reason I'm not allowed in the kitchen, you will now discover. I appreciate the fact that you're laughing. I hope you continue to laugh. So, for the sandwich, right? For this sandwich, we're going to start with some good sourdough bread. My wife baked it. She has the starter, you know, the whole thing. And so it's substantial. Well, the reason we're starting with something substantial like good sourdough bread is because Jairus was a substantial person. He was a person who was trustworthy. In the community, we read that he was a synagogue leader. Now, the synagogue wasn't only the place of worship. The synagogue in Jesus' time was the community center. So everything in the community took place in the synagogue. So as synagogue leader, it didn't mean he was just the leader of the worship time. No, he was the leader of the community. And as such, he was highly respected. And he was a person that was looked up to. And he was not only a person who was respected and looked up to, but he was also a person who was, I would say, not necessarily really wealthy, but he was prosperous. He was well-to-do, shall we say. He wasn't suffering. In comparison to the woman, exact opposite to her. So we're using some hard butter that I didn't melt. First mistake, okay? Good. You've noted that already. Yes, right. Okay, that's right. Guys, do you think you could do me a favor at the end by eating it? Would that be a possibility? Yeah, I know a couple of you are a little bit cynical about the whole thing, rightly so, yes. And we're not putting margarine on this. No. We're using real butter. And the reason we're using real butter is simply because it represents the fact that he was a person that had some money and a certain amount of wealth and was doing well in the community. He was obviously a religious person, and I don't mean that in a negative sense at all. He was a very well respected, and he was a truly religious person. That he was a person who had faith in God, and he served God, and he wanted to do well, and he wasn't a hypocrite at all, not in any way. And so we've got some hummus here, because hummus is good sort of for flavoring. And he was a person, he literally had a good flavor in the community. People didn't speak evil of him. People spoke highly of him. They observed his life. They were impressed. So this then is our friend Jairus. Okay? Respected, well-to-do, kind, true faith in God, a community leader, helpful to other people. Well, as was read, and as you know the story, Luke 8, the woman comes in. They're on their way to Jairus' house. His daughter is ill. Jesus, can you come and heal her? So there was faith there, evident the fact that he came to Jesus in the first place. He believed that Jesus was a person who could heal. He believed that Jesus, probably believed that Jesus was a prophet. So there was faith evident. So they're on their way. Don't know how far they had to go. Don't know how long it would take them. But the little girl was ill. Can you please come to my house, lay hands on her, and heal her? Yes. And so off they're going. But as they're going, this woman starts to push through the crowd. There's a whole crowd of people going with Jesus. And she starts to push through the crowd. And she very deliberately comes up to Jesus and reaches out and touches him. And Jesus stops. But they're on their way to Jairus' house. His daughter's sick. He's afraid she's dying. And so she touches him, and she's healed of her disease. We read that she's hemorrhaging. For 12 years, she's been bleeding. And so she has menstrual problems, and nothing has stopped it. And so this Jesus stops and says, hold it, someone touched me. And the disciples say, well, of course, people touch you. They're all around. They're rubbing. No, Jesus, somebody touched me. And everything stops. Jesus will not move. Who? And he won't move. He's just staying there. Everybody's staying there. The little girl's sick. Who is this woman? Well, let's just do some finding out here. Let's find out some of the things that constitute this woman. One of the things that we find out about this woman is that she's poor. Let's just use some onions for this, shall we? Nice pickled onions. Some of you immediately say, no, 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 I don't want those pickled. I don't like those pickled. No, 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 that's right. Well, that's good then for being poor. Good representation. Who wants to be poor? Well, not only was she poor, she was a widow. That meant that absolutely nobody was there to help her. She was alone in that society. If you were a woman in that society and a widow in that society, you were on your own completely. No family, no help, no social net, no one to stand up for her, no one to represent her. So, why don't we then add some onions, some tomato to this. There we are. That's good. That'll represent that aspect of her. She's physically ill. She's in serious trouble. No one can heal her. Let's add some cucumber, shall we? Good. Cucumber. From a good English, long English cucumber that I've cut up without cutting myself. That was the great accomplishment to start with. But with her disease, she's also spiritually impure. So if you read Leviticus, she's not able to go into the temple in Jerusalem. And so in her community, she has become a social outcast. People don't want to have anything to do with her. She's looked down upon. She's the least of people in her community. So she's on the outside of everything. And remember, she's a widow, so there's no one to stand up for her. So let's add for that, the fact that she's a social outcast, let's add some nice, sweet red pepper. Here we are. Finally, she comes forward. Has to push her way through the crowd. She had drifted off to the side. She had drifted off to the back. She had been healed instantly. Said nothing. Just disappeared. Because she wasn't of any value and people didn't like her. But now Jesus was saying, who? And he wouldn't move. And he wouldn't go, and he wouldn't budge, and it was embarrassing, incredibly embarrassing. Silence, huge crowd, Jairus just waiting, his daughter's dying. Who? Who touched me? Finally, she comes timidly through. People make way as they see her coming. Didn't like her in the first place. And now she's caused this problem for Jairus, their community leader. This woman, a woman, outcast, pariah on the community, is holding up Jesus from going to heal their community leader, a man they respect, a good man, a man. She kneels at Jesus' feet, and he says to her, daughter, daughter, a term of endearment, a term of acceptance, a term of love, daughter. Jesus is accepting her. Jesus isn't angry with her. Jesus is not viewing her as an okay. Daughter, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Well, she has definitely shown two very, very positive attributes, in spite of all the problems that she suffered, two incredibly good attributes. So the first one is courage. This woman has guts. This woman came to see Jesus in the first place. She took a chance on coming and going through the crowd and having people say all sorts of derogatory things about her and nasty things and tell her to get lost, and they didn't want her and she should go elsewhere and Jesus doesn't have time for her. There's courage. And secondly, Jesus says, you've got faith. Daughter, your faith has saved you. The Greek word is saved. Not just healed you, but saved you. Complete salvation. Holistic salvation. Not just healed you physically, but your faith has saved you. Your faith has brought a whole new spiritual acceptance into her life. A relationship with Jesus. Social acceptance. Jesus is accepting her. Let's just use the meat for the courage. Let's put some cheese on here, shall we? You wonder where I'm going, don't you? Well, you'll find out. I'm not going to tell you now. Cheese. Cheese is really great for faith, I think. Now, the one thing I want to remark to you is that I'm not saying that her faith was cheesy, okay? I'm not saying that. Yeah, I know, that's really bad, isn't it? I know, okay. I'm not saying that. And let's face it. Let's be honest. Some people's faith is cheesy. But no, it was real. It was real. Healed. Sent on her way. Spiritually renewed, a friend of Jesus, accepted by Jesus, loved by Jesus, in front of everybody. Everybody sees Jesus loves, cares for, has compassion for this woman, and she's healed as well. Oh, okay. Well, it's time to move on. So, what? We are back to Jairus now. So let's just take this from there, and we'll just place it over here. That's right. And we're back, and we've got our piece of bread. We're back to our bread again. We're back to Jairus, that substantial person, highly respected, good man. He's also a desperate daddy. Word comes, his daughter has died. Men, how do you feel towards that woman? You're a dad. She held up. If Jesus had come to your house, if he could have kept coming, if he hadn't been held up, your daughter might still be alive. Elizabeth and I have discussed this. I think that he wasn't too happy. I don't think he was feeling all that kindly. I'm not hostile or anything. It's great that she's healed, but my daughter's dead. Let's just use a little mustard, shall we? If the mustard comes out. Oh yeah, look at that. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. You know, just a little bit of difficulty, right? A little bit of, it's a little bit of sharpness, maybe a little bit of other world taste. So we just put it on there, and that's how he feels. And so they come to the house. They get there. Daughter's dead. But Jesus says to him, listen, Jairus, keep believing. Let's go. Keep believing. Have faith. Faith what? In me, Jesus says. See, it's always have faith in me. It comes back to Jesus. This is a Jesus sandwich. This is a gospel sandwich. All the stories in the New Testament are Jesus stories. And they get there and he says, hey, stop all your grief. She's just sleeping. It was a euphemism used at that time for people dying. It is today as well. They laughed at him. They go in. And Jesus raises her to life. Now, she's dead. Let's be clear about this. She is dead. There's nothing about, it's not being in a coma. It's not she's not unconscious. They brought word she's dead. Everybody there knew she had died. And so it's life in place of death, the same as the woman's bleeding stopped. It was physical. It was tangible. It was observable. It was a miracle. It can't be explained away. It is a physical miracle that Jesus has performed. Absolutely impossible. But you see, Jesus does the impossible. And Jesus then says, you need to give her something to eat. Practical, down to earth. That's Jesus. And they all joined in, and there was an incredible celebration. It is an incredible picture of what Jesus can do. But the thing that I want you to notice particularly here is not only the two miracles, but I just want you to think again for a moment about the two persons, right? There's Jairus at the top. Person of faith, respected, a community leader, a good person, wealth, accepted by everybody. There's the woman. An outcast, a widow, no one at her side, desperately ill, without any money, without any standing in the community, spiritually impure. The difference. They are totally, in every way, different people. There's nothing similar about them, except Jesus says they both have faith. But so very different. And what I'd like you to do for just a moment as we conclude this morning is to consider that this is an incredible picture. This sandwich is an incredible picture here with all these different ingredients. And these two people, they are a picture of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is composed of all the different kinds of people there are. And these two people, Jairus the man, the widow, the woman, represent this kingdom of God. Coming to Jesus, who accepts them and has compassion and love for them both. There's no difference to Jesus between the two. These are two people in need. And he accepts them both. What a picture of the kingdom of God. What a picture our sandwich is of the kingdom of God. And that's what the kingdom of God is. I'm reading in Revelation chapter 7. The vision of John. After this, John says, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Notice, every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, all different in the kingdom of God. Think about that. Not the same. All different. That's God's kingdom. And then think that Jesus has brought his kingdom. He says, repent and believe in me. Follow me. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is here. And so he's brought the kingdom to earth for all kinds of people. For Jairus the man. For the poor widow who's sick. Everybody's welcome in the kingdom of God. And how is the kingdom to be represented? What's the picture of the kingdom of God that we have in our world here and now? Not just in the future, but the kingdom of God. The church of Jesus Christ, my friends. We are to be a picture of the kingdom of God. Now, this church is not the kingdom of God. I'm sorry to tell you that. No church is the kingdom of God. No political party is the kingdom of God, much to the chagrin of many people today. No. But the church is to be a picture of the kingdom of God so that when people look at the church, they get a picture of what God's kingdom is like in Jesus Christ. All kinds of people, top, bottom, all equal, all welcome, all accepted there. That is the picture that Jesus wants us to convey to the world. That's why Jesus prays for unity. Why? Because we're so diverse. Jesus prays the night he's betrayed in the garden in John chapter 17. Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. And Jesus prays that, and you can look it up in your Bible, and you can find it in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That includes us, you and me. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, Father, as you are in me and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. How will they believe the world? When we're one. All different. They say, and the world says, the people around us say, wow, never would have thought those people would have all been together. That's what we're to do. But Jesus prayed that because he knows we have a problem. We have a unity problem. Us Christians, us followers of Jesus, all of us. Why? Well, it's very simple. Listen. The meat says, why do I have to be next to the cheese? The cheese is smelly. I don't like it. And the cheese says, I've had enough. I don't want to live next to the tomatoes and cucumbers. They're yucky. And they spread all out. As soon as you start to eat the sandwich, they squirt all over the place. And the cheese and the meat say, and the tomatoes even, and the cucumbers heard to say the same thing. Listen, these onions here, who wants to live their life next to these stinky onions? Smell all the time. Don't get along. And so, what happens in the church of Jesus Christ? We fight. We argue. Don't want to be that kind of people. They're not my kind of people. Oh, and we haven't even mentioned the egg salad sandwich. Oh, man, the egg salad sandwich is so mixed up that you can't even tell it's an egg. Man, the egg and the egg salad sandwich doesn't even know it's an egg. At least if you have a hard-boiled egg, there's even a shell on it. There's a top and there's a bottom to it. Well, even, I mean, if they're fried, even if they're over easy, you can tell there's a yolk and there's a white. And poached, well, they look really nice, you know, they're a bit, but not an egg salad sandwich. No. A peanut butter sandwich. They are so messy. There is peanut butter on the counter. Some of you are thinking this is true. There's peanut butter on the counter. How do we get peanut butter on this knife? Hey, did you know you've still got peanut butter on your lips? That needs to be cleaned off before you head to, before you. You will do that, won't you? Yeah, that's good. That's good. Good, yeah. It's all over, messy. We don't want those messy kind of people in our church. They're nice. There's nothing personal, but no, that's not for us. I'm sorry. Can't handle that. So what do we do? Well, probably one of two things. We just let them quietly know that they're not our kind of people. Lisbeth, you're really nice, but you know Central Church down the street? You probably fit better there. Especially your husband, he wouldn't even be accepted there, right? Okay, that's right. And John, I love your music. Doesn't quite fit us, though, okay? Sorry, okay, it's just, you know, nothing personal, though. Maybe Second Church would be better for you. Okay, good, as long as you understand that. Or, well, maybe it's just time that we left. Find a church with our kind of people. More comfortable. But my friends, Jesus doesn't want one church to be a steak sandwich, another church to be a grilled cheese sandwich, another church to be a tomato and cucumber sandwich, and certainly doesn't want another church to be a peanut butter and banana sandwich. That's not how he wants the church. He wants the church with all these weird ingredients and people in the one church. Because he says, that's how you're going to know, and that's how people are going to know. Jesus said to his disciples the night he was betrayed in the upper room, a new commandment I'm giving you, that you love one another. It's not a new commandment, it's in the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself in Leviticus. But Jesus was saying, by this shall all people know that you are my disciple, that you love each other. He took that and he raised it up to make it the prime commandment with, you shall love the Lord your God. Not an option. Love is the mark of the Christian. And so somehow this sandwich has to be held together. How's it going to be held together? It needs a dressing of love. It needs a seasoning of love. That's the only thing that's going to hold us together, my friends. The love of Jesus. Because we are different. Some of us are weird. I'm just going to admit it right now. If you didn't know it, if you've been attending here for a while, you already know that. But some of us are just plain weird, okay? So we just need a little dressing of love to tie everything together. And there is our sandwich, our gospel sandwich. Yep, the bad news is it's a Dagwood sandwich. And some of us like cheese sandwiches, some of us like steak sandwiches, some of us like egg salad sandwiches. And although I'm not going to ask you to admit it, some of you like peanut butter and banana sandwiches. There's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples because you love each other, even though you're all different. And the person next to you is not your kind of person. Love is the mark of the Christian. Would you say that with me, please? Love is the mark of the Christian. Amen.